All right, we've been talking now for months about this guy that I'm going to introduce here. All right? Mr. Fox Buyer is here at last. I've been talking about him for a while behind his back. We've been doing lots of research behind his back so we can get to know why he's so great, why I think he's so great. So if I review, come on over here, Mr. Bretz. So look, nope, there are some people that haven't seen him in a couple of years.
Oh, my God, he's got
that's
tall.
Mr. Bretz.
Oh, my God, he's taller than me now. What happened to this kid, right? So he is, Michael is a freshman at Whippany Park High School. And he came back to me after his first week of classes in high school. How's high school doing? How great is it? You liking it? You terrified? You what? Right? And he said, you know what? I got this great teacher, Mom. I have this one teacher, I just love him. And he just makes me feel good. He's inspiring. Oh, and then he used that my favorite word, right? Inspiring, right? Because when we're inspired, we develop goals and we do things, right? If we're not inspired, we don't really want to do much.
This guy
used the word inspiring, and I said, I got to meet who he's talking about. Went to back to school night. What do you think happened to me?
You met him.
I met Mr. Buyer, Mr. Fox, right? Mr. Fox Buyer, and I was inspired as well, right away. Okay?
Yeah.
I was inspired by how accomplished he's become and what he's done in his life. So many things. What things did you guys hear that he's done in his life that I will probably never do in my life?
Baseball?
Yes, has to do with baseball, right? He's coaching. What else? He's juggling a lot of things in his life.
Yeah, teacher.
Yes. A Spanish teacher, right?
Yeah.
Anything else? What else do you
remember
me hearing? Nope.
Nah.
Poetry. He's a poet. He's a published author. He's on podcasts. He's all over the place, right? It was very easy to find information on Mr. Buyer. So without further ado, I would love to hand over the stage to Mr. Fox Buyer. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
How are we getting along?
Good.
Good? I'm going to play a short video, and then we'll get right into it. Okay?
Yeah.
Just cracking up a little bit.
Check it out. Baseball team. Everything is a little inspiration. It doesn't have to look very far.
They spelled my name wrong.
Who's that guy? It's like 20 years ago.
He's definitely not number one. He's the most positive, strongest individual I've ever met.
My name is Fox Buyer, and this is my story. I was born 2 months premature. In the beginning, it didn't look good in terms of my survival. And I was given, from what I'm told, a 25% chance to live. And then as my condition improved in the week after I was born, my father decided to name me Fox because he felt like I had outsmarted all of the doctors.
Maria Bonnie.
I had great, great support growing up. I grew up about half an hour from here in Chatham, New Jersey, a nice little town in Morris County. I have 3 siblings. I have an older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister. And some of my first memories with all of them was playing baseball in the backyard. One day, the director of this program at MSG Network, Mike Quick, called me and said, Fox, knowing that I was a big Yankee fan, that I was going to throw out the first pitch to a Yankees game. The first person I actually meet is Derek Jeter. I shake his hand, and one of the first things he says is, don't bounce this pitch. Wayne Boggs was great. At the time, he had a sister with MS, so we sort of connected that way.
Let's give a big hand to our most courageous athlete, Fox Buyer.
It was not a strike. And I also remember TV Network, who was doing a piece on me, had a cameraman behind home plate. I threw out the first pitch, and I twirled around, I tipped my cap, and this man laughed so hard that he fell backwards with the camera, so there's no footage from behind home plate of me actually throwing up the first pitch because of that. Met Brett in college. We have a lot of chats on the bus on the way to class, and that's how we first got acquainted with each other. I majored in history and in Spanish. I went back for an extra year to get my degree in Spanish, and during that year, when I was a coach on the baseball team at the University of South Carolina, we went to the College World Series. One day, I knew Brett was here as the pitching coach. So I called him one day, and he said, sure, come on out. Came out a bunch of times in 07 and 08. I got a uniform, and fortunately, I've stuck ever since. The luckiest guy on earth. This organization cares about the players more than anywhere that I've seen. We're very much a family. I truly believe there is no other place like this on earth. I've been a Spanish teacher at Whippany Park High School for the past 12 years. All I try to do there is give them the same great experience that I had growing up. I've coached baseball and volleyball at Whippany Park for 7 or 8 years, and again, I'm teaching them about life. I submitted a manuscript to a publishing company, and luckily, within a couple of days, they offered me a deal. I memorized a lot of the poems, and I go around coffee shops, ice cream parlors, libraries, anywhere that will take me, and I recite these poems. My ultimate goal is to affect as many people as I can in a positive way. I do want to pursue public speaking more, possibly as a career, and I want to do it in a way where I'm really completely honest and giving my heart to the audience, but doing it in a way that's meaningful and understandable.
And Mr. Fox Meyer!
Let's give a big hand to our most courageous athlete, Fox Meyer.
That's where you can clap a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here.
What the heck is the end of this?
Hit escape.
There we go!
Yeah. All right, I'm going to start this. Here and see if this works.
So even if you don't like what I have to say, you can look at some pretty cool pictures. That's actually from a book that I wrote. My friend Steven did a lot of the drawings. And look at this. There's a guy, and in the shadow is a fox. I didn't notice that. I actually didn't notice that for the longest time. The book came out in January of 2015. Took me about a year. Oh, look, there's a fox below there. So yes. So my name is Fox. You can call me Fox. FOX. Okay, Mr. Fox.
Bryce Fox.
Fox is perfect. FOX. Just like that. Throughout time, people have had some very interesting interpretations of my name. And here are a couple of them. Who here likes pizza? Pizza fans, we're in New Jersey, right? Pizza, right? Pizza.
Yeah.
What kind of pizza do you like the most?
Extra sauce, pepperoni.
Pepperoni. What's your name?
Walter.
Okay, pepperoni guy. Anybody else? Pepperoni. My dad's a big pepperoni guy. Okay. Salud. Dinero amor. Okay.
Yeah.
And anybody for Hawaiian pizza? Hawaiian fans. You're a Hawaiian pizza fan back there.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Daquan.
Walter. I'm gonna come in again. I'm gonna get your names. All right, Hawaiian pizza fans. And you, your pizza? Favorite pizza?
Yes.
Would be what?
Hawaiian.
And your name is?
Caitlin.
Caitlin, okay. So Hawaiian, pepperoni. Anybody else? Pizza? What kind of pizza?
I like the one with the peppers on it.
Peppers?
Yes.
Very spicy. And your name is?
Cow.
Again?
Cow.
Okay. Anybody else? Pizza. Yes, your name again?
Care.
Pizza is plain cheese pizza.
And green peppers and onions, of course.
Pretty much the entire garden?
Yeah. The entire garden.
Dump it all on there. Even though it's pizza. So, this one day, I ordered pizza. Right? Whenever I order things, they ask me, what name?
I'll say it, and I'll spell it. Fox, like the animal, F-O-X. That's what I said, very slowly. Anybody understand that? Fox, like the animal, F-O-X. They deliver it. There is a name written on the box. Right? You would think it would be F-O-X. What the heck? I'm a man. Why couldn't you just put F-O-X? Right? I just can't escape it. Long time ago with my good friend, Stuart, I was coaching a baseball team in Eatonton, North Carolina. And we lived with a great family. Our house mother's name was Ruth, Miss Ruth, Mama Ruth. And I would go before games to a little beach to read. Pretty much all the time. So one day, Stuart gets home, and Ruth is there, and he asks Ruth, where is he? She said, Frog is at the beach. She called me Frog. And she actually, it wasn't just a slip, she actually thought it was my name. Can you believe that? So Fox, F-O-X, F-O-X. Wow. Here's my story. And we're going to, I'll stop at points, I'll ask you questions, but this is what it's like for me to get up and to drive into work every day. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
It's called Life as I Have Known It. And many of you, salut, dinero, amor, a lot of you know it well. So you ready? Let's do it. Just walk along with me. You know, before we do that, why don't we do a little breathing exercise to get locked in? You know, it's a poetry book. You know me as a poet. So why don't we start off with a poem? All right? Please say the word breathe between every line. I'm going to have you start off. You ready? Go.
Breathe.
Two rules. Inhale, exhale.
Breathe.
You are the one that prevailed.
Breathe.
Create your own rhythm.
Breathe.
Doesn't it feel great to create your own microcosm?
Breathe.
Whether your pace is slow or fast.
Breathe.
Let the air in your lungs amass.
Breathe.
Your own composer you can be.
Breathe.
So create your own key.
Breathe.
Very nicely done. Let's go on the trip. It's 6 a.m.
Breathe.
And we're still breathing. You can stop. I didn't tell you to stop. That's okay. It's 6 a.m., and the alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. While I am very grateful for this gift from my Somerset Patriot family, I know it's an alarm clock. It's not its primary intended use. So naturally, I want to punch it. Don't you want to punch the alarm clock when it goes off in the morning?
Yeah.
Who does it? Who's like, yes. What a soothing sound of,
Not me.
Right? But I don't punch the alarm. What do? I hit snooze. Who does that? Who hits snooze more than once in the morning? Who gets out of bed an hour after they actually wake up? I'm gonna keep my hand raised, right? Who's lying right now? I hit snooze twice within 10 minutes, and then I hear Coach Tanner's words in my head. He says, off your butt and on your feet, gotta get up so we can eat. He was a poet. He's a poet. I oblige, and I begin to put my right leg on the ground. And when I do this, I see a scar on my right hip that is product of a 1984 and 1988 hip surgery, in which my surgeon went in, broke both my hips, and inserted metal rods in my hips, turning the bones out, all in an effort that I'd walk less knock-kneed. Well, I put my left foot on the ground, and the first thing that happens is my knees kiss together for the first of many times that day.
Really?
Yes. And I look down, and I say, boy, you boys are really good friends. Terrible joke. Captive of my body, this thing has got me sitting here in this chair.
So begins the unfair, thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? And how is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me X-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. I walk into the bathroom to shower, and I pick my feet up just high enough up off the ground so I don't trip and fall flat on my face, which happens every day. That's why, you see. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, I think back to January of 1990. I'm 12 years old, and it's just after my hamstring transfer surgery. And my surgeon walks in, dressed in plaid from head to toe and in cowboy boots. And he's doing all these weird coordination exercises, like tapping his head and rubbing his stomach. Let's try that. Let's tap our head and rub our stomach. I can't do it. And then switch. So rub your head and tap your stomach. So my body is all sliced up, and he walks in the room doing that and saying, "Fox, go ahead and do that." And then he asks me, "Fox, how are you doing? Good?" People, I have never told a bigger lie in my life when I say, "Yeah, Doc, I'm doing great." I climb into the shower. And I hold on to things more than gently because I've had a lot of tumbles in my life. And today I want to keep my teeth. As I bathe, I see all my scars. Each one carries with it a memory. Heel cord extension, hip osteotomy, hamstring transfer, testicle removal, test tube, chest tube. I towel off. I get out of the shower and I groom myself. And the last thing that I do is I put contact lenses into my eyes. And when I do this, I am reminded that I cannot focus on a single object with both eyes at the same time. Product of being cross-eyed at birth, playing baseball at grandmother's house, and various eye surgeries in between. So I'm going to go back here. I'm going to show you what I mean. How are you doing? How are you? See? He thinks I'm looking at him, right?
Matt,
it's good to meet you. I'm Fox.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look at me, Matt. Which eye is focused on you right now? The right one. What about now? The left. What about now?
Right.
See that? But I can see you and Mike right now. At the same time, Mike, put your hand up. Michael Brett. Can't do it. It looks like I can't focus on a single object with both eyes at the same time. So Michael knows in class I have to point at you and say your name, or else you go, "Who's he looking at?" Right? I see myself in the mirror. I step back. It's 6:30 in the a.m., and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror. He looks back at me and says, "Have you done all you can do? And are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given? As would say, decent son, do you realize the responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. And no matter there are no cameras, that you are alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world, but the mirror always sees the truth." I walk out of the bathroom to go get dressed. I pick my feet up just high enough up off the ground, not to trip and fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's the sound a morphine machine makes, injecting itself into my blood after a surgery. I sit down to get dressed. As a general rule, this takes me 4 times as long as it does for the average bear. How long does it take you to get dressed in the morning?
24
hours. No. Okay, is Caitlin again? Is that right?
24.
24 minutes?
Yeah.
24 minutes? It takes me longer than that.
Anybody longer, 24 minutes?
One.
I think shorter.
You getting all gussied up? Getting all gussied up? Who takes less than 10 minutes? Less than 10 minutes. Shame on you all. I don't know. I think with Michael, it's probably 8 minutes on here.
There's a lot of grooming.
What's the most important thing when you groom yourself for you? Is it makeup? Is it hair? Is it eyes? Shoes? Hair? Who says hair? Hair? It's got to be in place. Hair's got to be in place. Okay. What about for you ladies? Makeup? Got to have makeup. You never know, right? Cameras could be around. You never know. You've got to look good. You've got to have a little base. Who says shoes? Shoes. Shoe people. Yes, you're a shoe person. Okay. How many pairs of shoes do we own? That's more than five.
I think so.
Less.
I know that.
More than five. What size shoe do you wear?
Men's 13.
You want to donate?
All week.
Just kidding. But it takes me longer than it would for the average bear. No big deal, but the hardest part for me is putting on and tying my shoe. I do it with my left foot with few problems. My right foot is much harder. I look to my right. I see my neighbor in the parking lot bend down and tie his shoe in 2 seconds flat. I want to see how quickly it takes you to tie your shoes. Who wants to volunteer? Volunteer to tie their shoes. You have voices.
Shake it.
So when you untie them, just untie one. And go. Nicely done. How about an applause? You're a big hair guy, right? You stay in groove. You want a free haircut?
Sure.
All right. Right? Here it is. Evidence. Free haircut from Send a Buddy Sport Clips. So if you like my hair and beard, here you go. You're very well. So I looked, when I do this, I see my neighbor bend down to tie his shoe with 2 seconds flat in the parking lot. I look to my left, and I can picture my mother telling me as a six-year-old, "Fox, you have CP, you walk funny, that's it, get over it." Blunt and to the point, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment, the millions of people in this world that have it harder than me for millions of reasons. Take Andre, for instance. Andre was my friend in rehab for a surgery. At 21 years old, Andre was given a motorcycle for his birthday. He took it out for a spin. He went over a patch of wet leaves, and the first thing he hit was his head. Andre lost all access to his long-term and short-term memory. And was prone to violent and profane mood swings, most of them directed at his own mother.
Oh my God.
For example, one day his mother would walk in and Andre would be all lovey-dovey. He'd kiss on her and hug on her the entire day. The next day, she'd walk in and he'd ask me, "Fox, who is this B-I-T-C-H trying to enter the room?" And he'd lock her out. There's Jerry. At 16 years old, living in Manhattan, New York City, Jerry got on his bicycle, to get groceries for his mother in the middle of the day. On his way there, he was hit by a drunk cab driver. Jerry, too, lost access to his long-term and short-term memory and was prone to violent mood swings, many of which were directed at his mother. So looking at me, I think I can tie my shoe. It's not all that hard in comparison to things. I do this. I stand up and I stare straight ahead. I think about all the times during this day the perception of me is going to get mixed with the actual reality. I think back to the seventh grade. In gym class, we all run around the track, and we're timed in doing so. A classmate is going around comparing his times with theirs. He gets to me. I begin to say my time, and he says, "Fox, you don't count." In this moment, I stand up and I say, "Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like a nicknamed scarecrow. Inside, what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times. I can't tell you this, no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover, I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled, my body wants to go fetal. Because in my life, I have seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run. You know, we all do for fun. But careful, because every step could lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes. Specs for ears, they can't disguise. You know, my pupils are never in sync. No matter how hard I try and think, but don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true, because I am a mental giant. I walk into the kitchen to have breakfast. Question: what is my favorite cereal? Yes.
Cheerios?
I like Cheerios. And here's a story about Cheerios. Here's a way you can get thrown out of a baseball game without using a cuss word as a coach. If you tell the umpire the strike zone is so small the pitcher has to throw it through a Cheerio. I mean, you can't do it, can you? I got thrown out of a game for that once. I didn't use a cuss word. All I said was, quote, "What's the problem? You got to throw it through a Cheerio to get a strike."
Yeah.
True story. It's not Cheerios. So let's other guesses on my favorite cereal.
What?
This cereal is so good to me that I put it on top of cottage cheese. Who likes cottage cheese here? Who likes it but hates the texture of it?
I like cottage cheese. I like regular cheese.
Regular cheese, yeah. Pizza. Back to pizza again. But what is my favorite cereal?
Cereal on
oatmeal. Oatmeal is popular.
Quaker.
It is a, well, it can be Quaker or General Mills. Any guesses back there? You know, I have a lot of dialogue back there in the back row.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Frosted
Lucky Charms, just it's like too many marshmallows. Honey Nut Cheerios? Fruity Pebbles? It gets really soggy if you don't eat it fast.
Captain Crunch.
Who said Captain Crunch?
Miss Baxter.
Oh, Miss Baxter?
Yes.
You said Captain Crunch, and you'd be right. Do you like to read?
I do.
You do like to read.
Uh-oh.
I would like to offer you a copy of my book. Miss Baxter, just one request.
Absolutely.
Just wait at least a week before you put it on eBay. Baxter. Oh, I remember, huh? Okay. So I have some Captain Crunch. I walk out the door, and how high do I pick up my feet?
Very high.
Well, just high enough so that I don't
trip
and fall flat.
On your face.
Thank you.
Wait, is he trying to make a rhyme?
Well, it actually did. That was a dual rhyme. I walk out the door. And the first thing that I have to do is walk down a flight of stairs. CP does not make this easy. Who here hates stairs?
I love stairs.
You really? I think you might be the only human being that ever said that. You love stairs? Yeah? We all hate stairs, right? For me, not easy. But again, in this moment, every morning, I can't help but think about the millions of people who have it harder than I do for millions of reasons. Take Reggie, for example. Reggie was my roommate in rehab. At 14 years old, Reggie stole a car. And he drove it into a telephone pole and was paralyzed from the waist down. It was Michael, 15 years old,
Michael walked into his parents' bedroom at night and said, "Mom, Dad, I have a headache." He passed out. Michael had a brain aneurysm. So he lied in front of me while in rehab, in a coma, in a diaper, unable to move, unable to speak. So, yeah, I believe I can get down these stairs. It's not that big of a deal. I hold on to rails to keep from flying. Man, you know I ain't lying. Sometimes I laugh to keep from crying. Hips entangled, legs entangled, feet entangled. I'm just so entangled. I get into my car to drive to work. What kind of car do I drive?
A Prius.
A Prius? That'd be kind of cool, but no, yes, sir.
A Honda.
It is a Honda.
I know a Honda.
It is a Honda.
Honda Civic.
Honda C something. It's not a Civic.
Chrysler.
I know what it is.
Stay with a Honda. Stay with a Honda.
Okay.
I know what
Stay
it
with.
Is.
Okay. I'm going to give you more guesses. I'm right with you.
Honda.
Chevy?
It's a Honda. It's a kind of Honda.
I don't know.
It's a very... my students have told me it's the mom's car. I'm a man. I have a beard for crying out loud. And they're saying it's a mom's car. Go ahead. Yes. I accept that answer. It's a Honda CRV. How about an applause? Hey, Henry? Henry?
Yeah.
You like baseball?
Whoa.
Do you like baseball?
No.
Do you love it though, right? You love it though, right? Do you wear jerseys?
Not that much.
Why? Because you don't have a lot of them. Would you humbly accept this All-Star jersey that I was given to me in 2010 on my behalf?
Wow.
I would humbly accept.
Okay, let's give it a pause. Good job, Henry. It will soon be your size.
Yes, it will.
It will soon be your size. Hey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to drape it on the back. Is that okay?
Yeah,
is that cool? All right, there you go. Number 30.
Awesome.
Thank you.
My age.
Wow.
Damn.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So I drive into work. Somewhere along the line to work.
Is that a dog?
That's, let's see. My brother Nick. Who the heck am I? I think that's me. Sister Julie. Brother Billy. Way back in the day. I think in Washington, D.C. in about 1980, whatever.
I paused it.
It's just taking a while to go through the pictures. That's the last time I actually look good in the picture, so I want to just milk it. I just want to milk it. So I'm driving to work, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, I make a left-hand turn. And when I do this, a baseball that was in a glove in my trunk rolls out, and it rattles around. Let's see if I can find it.
So the trunk was open?
No. Trunk was not open. It just rattled around in the trunk for a while. I am so grateful of all the places this white ball has taken me. Thousands of hours of playing baseball in the backyard with my siblings. Thousands of hours of playing baseball on a street, in a park, on a beach somewhere. In high school, I pitched over 100 innings. Somehow, some way, my left arm and this baseball got me to Yankee Stadium in 1997. And as you saw, I throughout the ceremonial first pitch to a New York Yankees game.
Wow.
Somehow, some way, my left arm and this baseball got me to the University of South Carolina.
where in 2000 and 2002 we were SEC champions. And in 2002, made it all the way to the College World Series. Somehow, someway, my left arm and this baseball got me to Somerset, New Jersey, where for the last 11 seasons, I have served as the team's bench coach. And in 2008, 9, and 15, we were Atlantic League champions. So, Good Evening Arena sold out with doubters. I stand before you completely empowered. I am so excited to hear the volume of deafening silence coming from this room. You have the bat, and I have the ball. Double or nothing, and once and for all, this battle, it wasn't close. You thought me a loser, and you misdiagnosed. I am so glad that throwing a baseball has had nothing to do with how quickly I get dressed. Because if it did, I would suck. I pull in to the parking lot. My mind drifts off. I'm at a beach. And I have to get up. Why would I have to get up out of my chair on the beach? Let's guess.
Go in the water.
People. Fumble. Fumble. Karen did not like me at all. So he just said, I've had enough of this guy. He's completely boring. But Henry, you are correct. I had to go pee. So I look behind me. My parents' beach condo, about a quarter mile away. And then I look at the water. Feet in front of me. I stand up. My knees kiss together. And I say to myself, well, the whole world's a bathroom, so. Raise your hand if you ever peed in a pool before. Raise it high. I've peed in a pool entire life in the last 10 years. Okay. Raise your hand if you're lying about not peeing in a pool. Okay. Thank you. We're not alone here. We're not alone. I park. I left. I get out of the car. Left leg first, then right. Each step carries with it a memory. Could you please say the word step between every line of this poem? Are you ready?
Ready.
Yep. Go! Step. Louder! It's gotta be really loud. Step! You're idle no more! Step! Pick yourself up off the floor!
Step!
Get up out of your seat!
Step.
You will not lie there in defeat.
Step.
In mind and body of winning tranquility.
Step.
Without movement, no possibility.
Step.
Each pace equals a seed.
Step.
And the world's largest sequoia tree.
Step.
One by one, they'll amass.
Step.
Chlorophyll passes down victory path.
Step.
Applause for yourselves. Give us an applause. Nice loud applause. I approach the entrance of the school building, and I see myself in the door's reflection. I am amazed, and no matter how old I get, I am a man, 5'8" tall, and I have never bought a pair of pants that fit me. Anybody feel that way? Has anybody seen one of the Rocky movies? Right? He goes up the steps, right, building, and he's dancing around in a sweatsuit and he's throwing punches. What is weird about that? What's just so awkward about that? He's wearing a sweatsuit that's like 8 inches too short. You ever notice that? Like his socks? I can't stand it when people sit down, like they're in a suit, right, and you see all their socks and then some of their leg hair too. Like, what? Right? Like, but if they're too long and they drag and they rip, just aggravating. So I'm like, are they long enough? It's like a test I do for myself. I sit down and I'm like, okay, Fox, if you, are there any socks showing, a little bit of socks, you know, now it's brown on black, which is a fashion faux pas. Okay, stand up, right? That's crazy. I open the door for a couple of female colleagues, and I am amazed at the amount of bags they are carrying. I think, like, in proportion, male-female teachers, I think female teachers carry 5 more bags a day on their arms. How many bags do you carry when you walk into the room? One. I
I'm
think
not. A, I don't. I have a thing with bags. I don't carry a purse though either.
Oh, good for you! Applaud! Applaud! I think just for that, you.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give you a CD for that. How about this? Come on.
No worries, because CDs are defunct right now, and eBay will not take a CD. Unless it's in your car, right?
You see, for me, walking without anything is a conscious act of will. And I know the less I have, the more worry-free I am. As I enter the school building, I see so many students trying to be cool. You know that, right? And I know in this moment that my main job, regardless of what content I'm ordered to teach, is to make my students realize this, and to you all too. From the moment you were conceived, you were designed to be different. So why on earth would you try to act like somebody you're not? Are you trying to stand out, but sure your twin is out there, no doubt? They wear what you wear and they do what you do. You're carbon copy. Nothing new. But let me ask you this. Do they have your tone, your heartbeat, your mission? Remember, it is impossible to measure what lies within. With so many similar variables, remember how you all were made. Have no fear. Your individuality is saved. I approach the auditorium. I know it was a place where in the seventh grade, I tripped and fell. I was chasing around a girl I had a crush on. Has anybody done that?
I'm not supposed to.
Chasing somebody around you have a crush on? You're not supposed to? Well, that's supposed to, but have we done that? Like, chip, be like, I'm good. It's just part of my thing. Right? I have this thing when I chip and fall, I do push-ups.
Good.
Embarrassment, my arms get bigger. Mike's seen it in class. I try to, you know, Go Guardian's good for that. And just, like, you're not there? Okay, that's good. I have to get up and chip. First day of class, Mike, right? Put your bags under your desk so Profi doesn't trip, right? But what happens now? Right in the middle. Let's see if I can trip. I look at my hands and I think of my therapist, Kathy, Debbie, Jose, Mrs. Schumler. You see, they knew that for me, a kid growing up with CP, that I was going to fall every day of my life. It was inevitable. So it was imperative for me to get my hands out in front of my body, because 99.9% of my falls were forward. My hands have been there. You know, in 1997, when I threw out the ceremonial first pitch to a New York Yankees game, I fell on the top step of the dugout. My hands were there. In the fall of that year, as a freshman at the University of South Carolina, I tripped and fell on campus while talking to my friend Brett. My hands were there. And during the player introductions of the 2002 College World Series, I tripped and fell, and my hands were there.
And I pray.
I look at my hands, and I realize this. My life has not been about not trying to fall every day. I'm going to fall. We're all going to fall. Our lives should be about always trying to get back up. And our lives are less about pain and more about beauty. Thank you. Yeah. What are your questions? What time do we leave? 1:50? Is that when we leave?
Yes.
Your name again?
Kayer.
Okay. Question.
How many years have you been teaching at Living Park?
12 years. So I started when I was 14, and I am now 26 years old.
Wow. So he was younger than you.
Who believes me?
That makes sense, Justin.
Who believes me?
Oh, man.
That's my age, too.
If you believe me, you're definitely getting a free haircut from a buddy. You come on up.
Oh,
all right, buddy. I believe you now. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. My pleasure.
I didn't believe you for the second I said that.
I know you did. You're a smart man. You got your goodies, so you're good to go. You're good to go. What are your other questions for me? Yes?
What's your favorite baseball team?
Favorite baseball team is now the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. So anything they do, any sports they're involved in, I'm their number one fan because I'm an alum, proud alum of that school. It was the best 5 years of my life. And I have a lot of friends still there coaching, teaching, and fans themselves. So, go Gamecocks. It was growing up a Yankee fan. I'm still a Yankee fan, but not as big of a Gamecock fan as I am. Go Gamecocks. Watch them tonight, ESPN2, the men are playing. Live on the SEC Network. Yeah. Other questions for me?
What's your favorite jam?
Favorite jam? Oh, man. That's a great question. That is a great question. I am a music...
90s?
Yeah. I'm a 90s guy, so Arrested Development I like. Tribe Called Quest, I like them a lot. But when it all comes down to it, I like everything. When it all comes down to it, I am a really big old-time country guy. Now, if you ask Michael, he's a present-day guy. Okay, he's a Luke Bryant guy. Okay, Tim McGraw guy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Some old stuff.
Like, what's the oldest you go back?
Probably like late 1990s.
Late 1990s.
Yeah, Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn, yeah. Brooks and Dunn. Like them. Like them. But I love the song Don't Worry by Marty Robbins. That's one of my favorites. Lyrically it's kind of depressing, but I just, it would be a song I would listen to if I were going to pitch in a big game. That song would get me fired up. That's just how I operate. Great question. Great question. Yes.
What was life like when you were leaving high school, Chatham High School? We have a friend from Chatham over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whose sisters went to Chatham High School.
Oh, yeah?
So after you left Chatham.
Who's this?
Who lives in Chatham?
Yeah.
Yeah, and your sisters went there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? And you live there right now, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
You guys could be neighbors.
Class of 97 here. Class of 97. Cool.
So I'm wondering, when you left Chatham High, what were you thinking when you went all the way to South Carolina, like far from home, on your own?
I was super excited.
Yeah.
I can remember the date that I visited campus for the first time, October 16th, 1996, with my dad. And we go to the coach's office, a place called the Roundhouse, to visit with Coach Tanner, the then head coach, now the athletic director. We walked about 6 miles from the Adams Mark Hotel to the Roundhouse, down by the baseball field. And I can remember what he was wearing when we met him. I can recall him, and I do it to this day, on a hot day, right? I'm somebody that does not like to leave my windows open out there because I've had rain come in my car. Like, why is it all wet in here? Sunroof's open. So that's happened too many times. So I keep windows closed. So what I do is what Coach Tanner would always do with his cars. He'd open both doors up, turn the car on, and put on the air conditioning full blast to blow out the hot air. I don't know if that actually works, but to this day I call it a Coach Tanner.
Yeah.
So that I remember him doing that. And then I remember December 8th of 1996, sitting at my dining room table, I get the acceptance letter. It's emotional. And Dad says, "Do you want to do this?" So I was super excited about it. And as a teacher, I realized that some kids can't go there. You know, tuition is more than twice of what it was, and it destroys me because that was, will always be the best times of my life because of the people. Because of the people. And if you ever read my book, the artist, Stephen Whetstone, was a college teammate of mine. It's littered with references to those years. And that's, again, why I'm such a big Gamecock fan as well. So there wasn't much of an adjustment for me because I love the place so much from the beginning. Tons of friends, and I was always working. I didn't have what we think of as the typical college experience.
the going out and the partying, as you might hear sometimes, worked. I was a manager on the baseball team for 2 years. So we'd go to class from 8 to 12, go right to the baseball field, set up for batting practice. We'd have practice, clean up, get players' laundry, go home, study, sleep, get up, do it again. And
you're just a doer.
You get burned out quick, which I did, but I wouldn't trade it in for anything. Go do what you want to do. You'll find your friends. As long as you are uniquely you all the time and you don't try to act like somebody you're not, like people will find you. Stick to your principles, be who you are, and like people will find you, and you won't get homesick. Other questions? We have more time. Yes? Go ahead.
How are you able to not let your disability out there how you do things?
The question was, if I'm hearing you correctly, how do I not let my disability not allow me to do things? Okay. I'm going to put it to you like this. So I'm walking somewhere, right? I have to get to point B. Point B is a mile away. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking. And you guys know I get tired, I trip, I fall, and all this stuff. My life has not been about how quickly I get to where I'm going. Not at all. The impact that I have on you all is showing you that there is always another way to get there. Always. Always. Some run, some skip, some take a bike. Some drive, some don't drive. There's always another way to get to where you're going. Take pride in trying to figure that out. I can recall 12 years old. I'm in my bed at home after a surgery, and I'm in a cast from my waist down. Okay, and I am sick and tired of people having to do things for me. When I'm hungry, they have to go get food. When I have a runny nose, they have to get a tissue. Right? If I have an itch on my toe, they have to scratch it. I can't reach my toe because I'm in a cast. So I told myself, Fox, do not allow anybody from this point on to carry you to the bathroom. Okay? So what did I do? I devised a plan. I thought about it. Okay, I'm on my back. I'm going to flip myself over onto my stomach, then onto my right side, and then slowly crawl myself onto the floor, and then army crawl my way to the bathroom, and then prop myself up, okay, on the commode or using the commode. Think of it that way. I might not be able to do it how Mike does it or how Fox does it, but I'm going to make my own path and take pride in thinking about how you're going to do it, okay? Because there are people out there that look at you as an inspiration. And you're going to help them by fighting. Does that make sense? Okay. Another great question. Awesome questions. What are your other questions? Another one? Do you? Go ahead. What made you want to be a teacher, he asks. I'm at my best friend's wedding after I graduate. And I'm dancing with my best friend's aunt. And she says, I majored in history originally. And she says, Fox, why don't you be a Spanish teacher? You can talk about stuff that's normally boring and make it fun. And I've been able to do that as a teacher. And I realized again that teaching for me is not about necessarily the content that I teach, it's about being a good model of behavior. Years from now, you'll remember what your teacher was like, not what they taught. I can remember, I just got a Facebook message from my math teacher, Mr. Weiss. And I can't tell you a single math thing that he taught me.
But I can remember trying, in his class, trying to step over a row of chairs and falling backward. And it didn't hurt or anything like that. But him running up and saying, "Are you okay?" That's what I remember. His kindness is what I remember about him. That's what you're going to remember years down the road. So there's another line. Teachers never know how much impact they have because it's completely endless. They might be gone, but their students live on, right? And their kids live on. And in some way, shape, or form, you're a reflection of them. Good questions. Making me think a little bit. Making me get a little emotional. Jeez. I didn't count on that. Other questions? Go ahead. How do I explain it?
How do I explain it to little children?
It's a good question.
Run into that all the time, right?
That's a great question. They're the ones that. What's your name again?
Victoria.
Great question. Here's what I do. Here's what happens. You know, if you see, I like to take walks, and if you see me on a beach, I've got these skinny legs that are, you know, my lower legs going like this, my knees going like this, and kids will point, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're the ones that are, I don't know how you'd say it, they're just out in the open about it. If a kid were to ask me, you know what I would say? I would use my humor. I'd just say, "Man, I'm really, really tired." Or, "You're really, really tired. You okay?" Something like that. Or I just walk funny. I don't try to get into the technical parts of it. I can't even get technical about it. Lack of oxygen to my brain upon birth. I was premature. So now my brain doesn't tell my muscles to move like it would for most out there. But I would probably just tell a joke. "I'm really tired. I had a long bus ride. I flew back from San Diego and boy are my legs tired." And arms, one of those things. But yes, that happens all the time. People turn around real quick. Even adults. That the book called Wonder, like that split second when people look at you, like, "Ooh, I haven't had." That's going to happen from now until the day I pass. Regardless of what I do, whether I teach or coach, write poetry, this thing is going to follow me everywhere. So why not talk? And let you know that it's all right, but you've got to put it out there. You've got to put it out there. It's a great question, Victoria, to all of you. We have time for anything else?
I think Henry's been trying to get
Henry, sorry!
So, if you're a Spanish teacher.
Yes.
How many words of Spanish do you know?
A little more than a lot, but not enough.
Because I would imagine, I actually have some Spanish background.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm Peruvian. If you need for the teaching, I can.
Podemos hablar aquí y ahora? In Espanol?
What?
What?
What's
the
matter with you? You don't even speak Spanish.
Hablamos.
What? Hey, you asked for it.
The phrase, ten cuidado. Ten cuidado. Be careful. Ten cuidado. Ten cuidado. Story of my life. Story of my life.
No.
So I really don't know, Henry, how many words I know. I know that.
That was actually impressive.
Thank you. Fake until you make it, right?
Yeah.
Fake until you make it. We've made it. Good questions. Anything else that you would like to ask me? Can Can we go to him first? Is that okay?
Can you speak German?
No.
I know a couple, one phrase, okay? I've been sick, and I'm actually nationality-wise, blood-wise, I'm very German. My middle name is Kielbock.
What?
K-I-E-L-B-L-O-C-K. It's the part of a boat, the wooden part of the boat where if you turn it, it goes in the direction the boat's going. It's a router in a boat. So I know the phrase, ich bin krank, I've been sick. Which is relevant to anybody here who's had a cold. Ich bin krank. That's it. That's it. That's it. Good question. Yes?
So, what you still coach with at the Somerville Patriots?
Yes.
Somerset, sorry.
Yes.
Anyway, we can get discounts for tickets?
Absolutely.
For you?
I was going to beg you to come to a game.
We would love to come to a game.
That
would be great.
Just all of you, just get in touch with me.
Sure.
And we'll get you transported out there and get you all together for a game this spring.
That'd be great.
That'll be fun. Where are you going? You in?
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. You have my word on that. That's right. Networking. And your question?
I need to take an airplane.
Not to get there, no. Favorite hobby.
My favorite hobby of all the ones that I have. Great question. Throwing a baseball. It's the only thing that I feel like that I do that I have most control over. I can put a ball close to where I want it all the time. I don't throw very hard, very far, anything like that. But I love throwing a baseball off a wall. I would do it for hours as a kid. I like words, right? Where'd I get all these words? Throwing a ball off a wall as a kid. Okay, what rhymes with poetry? What rhymes with horse? I mean, that's what I would do. Horse, of course. But yeah, throwing a baseball. I love it. This day, I just kill to do it. Love doing it. Yes?
Can I actually share something real quick?
Go for it.
Like once I get mad, like, the number one thing that calms me down at home is throw a baseball against the wall. My neighbor came at me and says, what are you playing ball with? The wall. And you thought I was nuts.
But you're not, because I do it. See that? I do the same thing. The wall is great. It listens to you, right? Right? It doesn't get mad when you throw a ball against it. Except maybe your parents might even spackle that area. But yeah, throwing a baseball, I love it. Love it. Can't throw a football real well, throw a lot of ducks, but a baseball, love playing catch. Love throwing it off the wall. And all the other stuff is there, but hopefully there's a spot in heaven where
there's gonna be a spot in heaven for you.
I hope so.
For all of us.
All of us? All right. Let's have as much fun there as we did getting there.
Baseball field for all of us to just be there and throw some ball and hang it up.
That's right. There'll be games and tons of baseballs that we can just toss around. Anything else? And free haircuts for everybody. Free haircuts.
That's great. You guys have to round up, right? And get going. I'm looking at the clock. So can we give Mr.
Thank you. I have a gift if you would like it. I have a CD for all of you, along with a card of a very ugly guy in the middle. I'm just kidding. But I'll pass them out if you like it. Would you? Who would like one? Raise your hand. I'm going to come around.
Play it in the car on the way home if you'd like. Some of my podcasts, some of my book.
Okay. Take some pass around. Thanks so much.